We're in second session, obviously. We got kicked off YouTube again. You cannot be reading those verses about Sodom and Gomorrah and get anywhere. Too bad. I'm just covering what's there. And tells you the times we live in, isn't it? It's a commentary. All right. Page 28 of your notes, Romans 9:32, the Jewish miscalculation. This is what happened to the descendants of Abraham. They went way off script. While having the external appearance of being all right, they were not. And that Jews today, and I'm not, and you know that, I am not anti-Semitic. If you criticize legitimately someone's belief or practices from the Bible and you show it, you're not anti-whatever. You're not anti-black. You're not anti-Semitic. You're not anti-white. You're not anti, you're just anti a certain activity in a person. I mean, if you read the Old Testament, there was some, even in the day of King David, he writes a lot of Psalms, includes a lot of stuff about the people who are out to do him in. And it wasn't Gentiles. It was Jews that resented and was jealous of his power and position. And they were looking for any opportunity they could to bring him down. And when he got himself in trouble with God, with Operation Bathsheba, and everyone isolated from him, virtually, they did. He had family. They didn't treat him bad. They just withdrew. And he had this promise that he would live to old age and nobody would bring him down. But he went through some real big tests with regard to that. And an event that occurred in his life was when he was really in a corner in his palace and they were all, you know, chomping at the bit. We got him now. We got him now. They thought he was going to die. They wanted to hurry it up so they could fill in this power vacuum. God did something he'd only done one other time. It's in one of your Psalms. You remember in the day of Moses, when there was this rebellion against Moses' authority, and Moses had it, and he said to them up front, if God does something he's never done before, if he doesn't do this, then God didn't send me and I'm not your guy. I mean, and that group, Dathan and Abiram, revolution. They were the real hardcore anti-Moses crowd. Everyone was told to get away from their tents. Back off. And God punched a hole in the ground all the way to Sheol Paradise. And they all fell free fall down it with their pots and pans and everything. Kids, everybody. Boom. They land in the underworld of Sheol Paradise. Assuming there were believers. It happened in the day of David. It's happened twice. And that's what God did with that group of hardcore antagonists. Anyway, that was all based on the fact that my job, obviously, is to report what's in the Bible. If you're on the wrong side of it, you're on the wrong side of it. If you get on the right side of it, it's all cool. But I'm just going to get up here and teach. You can be, think, and do what you're going to do. I'm responsible to God to present the information to those who have an ear and are here. And those that are not of us, he'll weed them out. He'll weed them out. I don't run them off. I've been accused of that, but I don't run anybody off. I don't think I've told anybody, don't bother to come back. I mean, I wanted to. You're not doing yourself any good here. But I can't do that. I can't do that unless they're disruptive or unless they're out there running down everybody and carrying on. And I've let that go too. They want to get out there, run their little mouths, and have their little web page or text, all that little crap, gutless stuff. Knock yourself out. I'm getting SG3 remotely. We are, because we're under attack. Some of it you hear, some of it you don't. I don't care. It's the same doctrinal information. Okay, we'll throw in the flat earth. That's different. But it's the same doctrinal information that people were saying, right on, Jack, right on. And they were sincere. They weren't insincere. And they started listening to the wrong people. They started listening to the wrong, and they wanted the wrong things. It's the old parable of the sower. They got these weeds they wouldn't weed out of their garden. They got to like to doing something and interfered with being here on a regular basis. We want to run around the country in our motorhome. Or whatever it is. Okay? Make that your big deal then. We have restraints put on us because we're positive and we're supposed to make this our NPR and set up our lives, whatever it is, to make most of the time we can be here, which a lot of you have done and made necessary sacrifices in order to be here, moved out of state, got here, stuck here. You didn't make a mistake. The Jewish miscalculation. Now, if they can screw this up, if they can flip this on its head, just think what people are capable of. I've told you, one of the penalties for learning doctrine and leaving it is what you have will be taken away from you. You won't even recognize yourself spiritually, content-wise, belief-wise. Guaranteed. Whether you go to a church or not, it'll be taken away from you. It all goes flat. So if that doesn't scare you, well, some people aren't even going to any of these churches. They're not going anywhere. That's what I hear. That all wore thin. Because it wasn't of God. It wasn't of God, so who's going to follow? Who's going to stick with that? We had a history in the Maranatha Church that was natural and appropriate. Like newlyweds. We were newlyweds. And we had a natural history. I came up here. We didn't have a building. We met in a Holiday Inn. And until that fell through, got too noisy in there. And then we rented a church building that wasn't a church anymore, that was a daycare center. They couldn't use the auditorium. We stayed there a while, and they wanted us to leave. And then we had another spot. Midwest City Community Center. I'd be up here teaching. They had a bingo class next door. B-52. And that was for 5 years. We were wandering in the wilderness for 5 years. And I'm praying for 5 years, and I'm not making an issue out of it, but I'm praying, God, get us our own place. And this is the place we got, this property. We got it for a song, even back in 1978 or 9. We got it for a song. I recall it was around 80,000 or something. Somebody can go check the records. It wasn't over 100. And it was run down. Quakers had it. They don't believe in fixing anything up. No, you know, you're worldly if you have anything that looks good. And that old house was over there and all that. Our guys went in there and redid the interior. Ripped out the old shag carpeting. There was a Baptist church had it before the Quakers had it. I only say that because the Baptist minister and his wife, X, came in there while they were tearing out the carpet. Brenda was over there. What are you tearing that carpet out? What did you call it? You said, it's ugly. She spun on her heels and went running right out the front door. So we lived there until we got this house. So paved the parking lot. We got a young guy came out here, and he did our parking lot, and this thing has held up like crazy. Yeah, we've had to do some patches here and there. It has really held up, and I think we spent $20,000 to have this whole thing paved with curbing back in the day. It was a deal. And then we added this auditorium for another $20,000 or maybe more. And then we put a pitched roof on it. Things like that. God always provides. Our last big purchase was we put up those nice looking gates out there. Makes it look classy. You know. Makes it look good. Anyway, what am I talking about this for? Because I want to. Get your eyes off of people. Get your eyes on the truth. The Jewish miscalculation. By the way, I prayed, if I'm not good enough for these people, take me out. However you want to take me out. I mean, make it as painless as possible, but take me out. Well, he hasn't done that. In fact, he delivered me from a death test back in 2015 or so. I've told you, it's the truth. We had a doctor who came to our church. She'd tell you this. She said it was a miracle. So that was encouraging. It was encouraging to me personally. That I'm doing the right thing. I'm adequate. Somebody says, I don't like the word adequate. Well, what word do you want? Sufficient? If I can get you and you do what your part and I can get you qualified for the crown, then I'm adequate. I'm sufficient. We get the job done. The Jewish miscalculation. Why? Preposition D-I-A with the interrogative pronoun tis. Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it was by works. What we actually have here is, pursue is in italics, but that's the sense. When you see stuff in italics, that means it's not in the original, but they have to do it to make it smooth English. Sometimes they fail, most times they're okay. Because not from the source of faith, preposition ek with pistis, but as though, the comparative hos, as though from, again, ek. We have ek with pistis and ek with ergon, the word for work, in the plural. As though it were by works. That's the Jewish approach to this day. They approach the plan of God. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Okay. They stumbled. The word stumble is aorist active indicative of pros kopto. This means, in the literal sense, I tripped over something. I stumbled over something. And the meaning beyond that is to take offense. If someone causes someone to stumble doing something that causes them to stumble, then you are giving that person offense. You're a stumbling block by some action. We all have probably been from time to time a stumbling block to someone else, causes them to stumble. It's something we say, something we do. We're a stumbling block. So and then the over the stone of offense. The word stone is lithos, the Greek noun with the definite article, over the, and then stumbling stone, pros koma, that which causes stumbling or offense. Now, in this case, you do the right thing, and it causes somebody to stumble. If you do the right thing and they stumble, then they're the ones in the wrong. If you tell them what they don't want to hear or whatever, and they take offense at that, which they do, you're in the clear because you didn't do anything wrong. So, just as it is written, we need a citation here on this stumbling stone thing. Just exactly as it is written, kathos, just as it is written, perfect passive indicative grapho, citation of scripture. Behold, that's the particle interjection I do, which means behold or look, take notice, however you want to translate it. I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling. I lay, first person singular, I place, present active indicative, tithemi. I lay in Zion. Zion is another name for Jerusalem, or Mount Zion. That's, of course, the Jewish headquarters. That's where their temple was. That's where their leadership was through its history. I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling. I lay in Zion a stone, that which causes stumbling, proskoma, that's the noun, and a stone, the nuances here, a different word for stone, petra, like a rock. A rock which causes offense. We have a different word. In the Greek version of this quotation from the Old Hebrew, they use the word scandalon, and we have the word scandal. The concept of a suffering Messiah was scandalous to the Jews. It was repugnant that their Messiah, not because just he would come and suffer, but at their hands. The people that should have rallied around him and before him in every way, they're the ones that corporately did this to Jesus. The chosen people. They did it. It's laid at their doorstep. Oh yeah, Gentiles participated. They were used. The Gentile authority. You know, it gets me about the Jews. It goes on and on. You got all these great theological minds, so-called, trained up in their schools and all this stuff. Did anyone ever point out, hey, guess what, guys? We got the law of Moses here. And it says if we get out of line, here are the things God is going to do, and there's five steps. Well, we're under the fourth step on seriousness. And that means that we would be dominated by an outside world power. We would not be completely sovereign and free to make certain decisions. So when the Romans established their client Judea place, they had other places like this, but they established themselves there. And the Jews, well, they're going to give the Jews protection. The Jews can't have a military. They can't do the capital punishment thing. That's taken out of their hands. If anybody needs to be killed, we Romans will do it. So they were. Did anybody point this out? If we were in God's will and doing what we were supposed to do, we wouldn't be under the thumb of the great big bad Roman Empire. Now would we? We would be a sovereign nation. And we'd be prospering rather than being under their domination. Did anybody point that out? But it's amazing how people get around stuff and make excuses for stuff. Oh yeah, they chafed under it. They chafed under Roman rule. These are pagans, Gentiles. And they are calling the shots in certain areas of our life. We can do our religious thing and we can police our people and regarding the religious traditions and all this kind of stuff. But there are things we can't do. You're so smart. You got your Old Testament. You got the cycles of discipline in Leviticus, where it gets, if you don't turn away from your evil, then we'll take it to the next level. We'll take it to the next level until finally I'm going to kick you out of the land, which happened in 70 AD. You don't get that, huh? Isn't it? See, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. People are without excuse. You got the Bible in front of you. You can figure this stuff out. I don't expect everybody's going to know everything all at once, but if you're a student and you're positive, you're going to begin to figure these things out. So I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock that causes offense. I refers to God the Father, as in God sent His Son. He sent this and knew it would be a major stumbling block to the Jewish mentality. But it was still the right thing to do, to make all these Jews stumble. And they'd been stumbling over these verses all through their history. Who do you think in this verse he's talking about? I don't know what they made up. And continuing from this quotation, here from Isaiah, "And he who believes in him will not be disappointed." The one who believes in this stone of offense, the stone that causes stumbling. It's a metaphor. Christ is a stone, a rock, a substantial rock, a substantial stone. In other words, the most substantial stone in a structure called the temple, which is the main stone, which is the first stone laid. It is the chief cornerstone. And all the building builds off of that stone. All the foundational stones and all the ones all the way up. And I lay in Zion a stone that causes stumbling. And the Jews are still stumbling over it. They're still stumbling. They won't face it. There are exceptions, but they're not facing it. There was on YouTube, or one of those deals, a deal where a Christian Jewish evangelist was in the street and putting in front of the Jews who go to synagogue, and they read through the Bible. They have a cycle where they read through the entire Old Testament through the year. They skip Isaiah 53. What? What's so terrible about Isaiah 53? You won't touch it. Because it deals with the suffering and triumphant Messiah. Suffering first. They don't want to face it. And then he brought out other scriptures. And he wasn't in their face like, "You're a bunch of idiots." He was just saying, What's that sound like this is? And also keyed off of Daniel 9, which I'll cite in these, when we get to it, I'll cite here again in these verses, where the Messiah would come and have nothing. The low point, have nothing. That's Jesus at the end, even stripped of his garment. His one valuable possession that we know of, stripped of it, had brought down to the lowest level, nothing. And then 3 days later, God raised him to his right hand. Because he endured. He endured. He had spent his early years as a young person diligently studying the Old Testament. At some early point in his life, he realized who he was. How about that? He not only is he the Messiah, somebody was going to be. He was God. He was God. There have been people run around and say they're deity. There's an example in the book of Acts of some guy got up there, one of the Agrippas, I think, made a big spectacle before a bunch of people. He had on like this shiny outfit, and the sun hit it, and it was golden colored, and it was flashing, and people were saying, "A god, a god, a god." And he fed off of it, and some angels struck him with a stomach disorder that was so excruciating, it wasn't even funny, and he died. He claimed to be God. And he just did it for a spur of the moment thing. It wasn't something he was planning. Well, we've had people in our history and even in our lifetime who claim to be the Messiah. We had a South Korean, Reverend Moon. He was before dignitaries saying he was the Messiah. He was before a bunch of dignitaries in Washington, D.C., and a bunch of them walked out when he started advocating that he was Messiah. And Jesus said in the last days, false Christ will come. The ultimate one is yet to come. And he will unabashedly, at some point, tell the human race that he's God. He's the coming one. And he'll have some pseudo-credentials. He came back from the dead. He gets assassinated and jumps right back on his feet. And the people go nuts. It's the whole deal. You want to believe a lie? I'll let it go. I'll let it run right out there on you. God could have stopped any number of these big lies that the human race labors under. He could have stopped it. He let it go. If negative volition wants to harden their hearts and buy into false religion, false science, whatever it is, knock yourself out. And then we're going to come and we're going to expose it all and bring to utter shame and disgrace those who promoted it and those who fell victim of it. There's no excuse. And he who believes, there's the Hebrew word for believing. The salvation adjustment is predicated on an action called believing. And the one who believes, present participle with the verb in the Greek to believe, pistuo. The noun is pistis, faith. In him, preposition in with the locative of the pronoun autos, in Messiah, in him, will not be disappointed. We have the strong negative, OU, with the future passive indicative of kat aiskuno, which means to put to shame or to disappoint. Either way, works. One, Paul poses the question why in regards to the Jewish failure to achieve righteousness, the utter failure of Judaism to attain plus R. Because as we know good and well, you'd have to be perfect. And you're rendered imperfect from birth and then all the sins that follow. So, a bunch of works isn't going to counterbalance that, as is probably the thinking of some people. The Jews were seeking the right thing through a system that inherently revealed the path to plus R, but they failed to rightly divide the word of truth. They failed to rightly interpret the scripture. They didn't get it straight. That salvation was through a sacrifice and not an animal one, a human one. A human one. They should have got that from the life of Isaac and Abraham when he offered up Isaac. You know, the offering that God didn't let it go through, that stopped it at the last second. When God told Abraham, a type of the father, to take his son, Isaac, his upper age teenage son, and take him off out to this mountain and sacrifice him. Genesis 21. Abraham had rocked along for years, then he gets a super test. Take your son. He puts it in these terms. Take your son, your only son, the one whom you love, and offer him up. He didn't tell Isaac, we're going to go offer sacrifice, Isaac. Let's go. It's not deceitful. We are. You might think it is, but it isn't. They got all the stuff together, the wood for the fire. They got the knives real sharp. Got everything they needed. Had the animal, the pack animal to carry it. Isaac says, we're missing something. We're missing a sacrifice. Abraham's real cool. He says, God will provide the sacrifice. We'll faith rest it. We'll just go on. And so at the last minute, God calls off as Abraham In Abraham's mind, Isaac was as good as dead. Now, you know what Abraham knew beyond that? He knew that Isaac couldn't be dead permanently. Because in Isaac, your seed shall be called. And he hadn't grown up and had got married and had a son to carry on to the next generation, right? Okay. So Abraham had the doctrine, well, I've got to kill him, but God's got to bring him back. So when Abraham raised that knife, Isaac was as good as dead in his mind. He just hadn't pulled, we would say, pulled the trigger. And that's when God stopped him in midair. Abraham. And then in at the end of it, he says, now I know you love me. You've proven it. And this is for everybody who has put family, loved ones, grandkids, kids, whoever, above doctrine. And they left because they left. That is terrible. Because they left Bible doctrine, they're going to leave them too. And some of them really surprised me. I thought they were hardcore, staunch, they're going to be here. I was almost shocked. And then I thought to myself, no, I'm not. If you have an Achilles heel, it'll be found out. If there's something you put above Bible doctrine, and if that was taken away from you, and you would go under, then what are you? Didn't they think, I'll be reunited with them in phase 3, and in the meantime, I'm going to witness hardcore to them. And I will affect the appropriate separation. I will. They want to play this game. They want to play hardball. I'm playing hardball. God first, His word first, people second. We'll do everything we can to try to encourage people, but beyond a point, if they're gonna go out of here with an attitude, grab up their Bibles and run out in front of me. Is that what they think of me after all these years? They couldn't do it another way, could they? They had to do that. But I say to myself, look at the indignities the Lord Jesus Christ endured at the hands of His own people. With all the evidence. As someone pointed out, indicates they're out there thinking when I'm teaching, when that dove came down and landed on Jesus to demonstrate that he was going to be given the Holy Spirit for His ministry without measure, and the voice out of heaven, this is my beloved Son. The Pharisees and the Sadducees got to hear that, didn't they? You'd think at that point you'd say, okay, I give. I'm an idiot. I'm getting my act together. This is the Messiah. Let's roll. It's amazing, isn't it? How they will harden their hearts in the face. We've had it over and over again in the Bible. How they will harden their hearts in the face of overwhelming evidence. That's human perversity. No amount of evidence is going to change my mind. They might not say it that way, but that's in effect what they are. They're negative no matter what. That's the downside of my job. To tell people up front what's right, what's wrong, and they do whatever they want to do. And they'll even throw doctrine out as their excuse. And they just keep on doing the same stuff. I want to use another word, but it's a public place. They do this, it starts with an S. They keep doing the same stuff. And they rationalize it. Well, you're going to hit a wall. You keep your abuse up. You keep doing this. And it isn't going to be pretty. It's a warning. To pull in your horns and quit making someone else the patsy for why you're a jackass. A part of being a grown-up and a man is to take responsibility. And not try to slough it off. Oh, it's your fault that I'm a nut. No, it isn't. It is not. Blame your spouse. Blame whoever. Now, you're the screw up. You need to get it right. And if it makes you mad and you're going to stomp out of here, then stomp out. Or do the smart thing. Get your act together. And quit repeat and repeat. That's kind of the definition of stupidity. Do it once. Do it twice. Do it three times. Quit doing it. And then make an excuse. I got a problem. Yeah, you do. It's running under your STA. That's your problem. Oh, maybe your upbringing sucked. You didn't have the right kind of father figure in front of you, telling you how things are, son. We don't do that around here. Instill some norms and standards. Okay? Oh. Well, God willing, and the rapture doesn't occur, I will see you Tuesday. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.